Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Akhwayi. The radicalization of the war in Syria is officially in high gear. Iraq's al-Qaeda wing has officially announced that it had united with al-Nusra Front, fighting the Syrian government forces. This is al-Nusra Front pledges allegiance to al-Qaeda's leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri. As the G8 meeting of foreign ministers takes place in London, these foreign ministers will be meeting the fractured SNC, in which both France and Britain are expected to, once again, push for lifting an arms embargo to support these insurgents. A fractured opposition in disarray, terrorists announcing allegiances. Is this why Syrian blood in the thousands has been spilled and continues to be spilled? Let's find out what our report indicates.
Al-Nusra Front, one of the major armed groups which is struggling to topple the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, declares its allegiance to the al-Qaeda terrorist organization. The pledge of allegiance comes a day after the head of the terrorist group al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, called on the insurgents in Syria to fight it out until the establishment of what he has described as an Islamic state in Syria. Also on Tuesday, head of al-Qaeda's Iraq branch, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, announced that it would merge with al-Nusra Front, and so it's changing its name to the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Al-Nusra Front, which is on terror blacklist of many countries such as the United States, has made little secret of its links across the Iraqi border. And now al-Qaeda's Iraqi wing, also known as the Islamic State of Iraq, is making things more clear. The group says it chose al-Jawlani, the current head of al-Nusra Front, and other insurgents trained in Iraq to cross the border into Syria. The Islamic State of Iraq terrorist group says it gave Jawlani financial aid and personnel to begin its deadly mission in Syria. Al-Nusra's pledge of allegiance to the terrorist group should spook the international backers of insurgents who sat together in gatherings in the likes of Syria donor conferences and regional meetings in a bid to funnel financial aid and even military equipment to the pockets of armed groups.
We're looking forward to the next war, that once the Assad government collapses, that there will then be a fight between the so-called moderates and the al-Nusra Front and other jihadis in the opposition.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
In London, foreign ministers of the Group of Eight Economic Powers, also known as the G8, are meeting to discuss further aid to insurgents whose radical inclination is coming to light day by day. The G8 foreign ministers will meet figures of the National Syrian Coalition, an umbrella group of all foreign-backed Syria opposition. Well, let's put these two significant events in one picture. Al-Nusra says it's now officially an al-Qaeda branch, while G8 pushes for more aid, including weaponry, to the insurgents. This picture should look ugly to anyone who takes a glance at it. But what's behind this image? In other words, can we see the US, the UK and France, among others, shaking hands with al-Qaeda? As developments in Syria continue to unfold, it seems, yes, we can. A serious question that remains to be answered is, why do the US and al-Qaeda have a common goal in Syria?
Yeah, lots of questions there. Let me introduce our guest. Human rights activist Randy Short joins us from Washington. And from the Sharia Court of the UK, Anjem Choudhary joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Anjem Choudhary, I'm going to start with you, and if you can give us a reaction to the official announcement now of the merger or unification of Iraq's al-Qaeda wing with al-Nusra Front in Syria.
Yes, this is no surprise at all. In fact, we see that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the Muslims are one brotherhood worldwide. Their land, their peace, their war, their honor is one. So Sheikh Ayman al-Zawahiri has proved yet again that the leader of al-Qaeda is in fact taking the lead for the Ummah, and his announcement that the Muslims must unite together, they must fight together, They must establish the Sharia and the Khilafah, which is an obligation anyway upon the Muslims worldwide. And now the support for that by Jabhat al-Nusra, and of course the link between them and the Mujahideen in Iraq, and now further support from others around the world, for example, Sheikh Umar Bakri Muhammad to call the Muslims to unite together, who is the head of Al-Muhajirun worldwide, I think is an indication that the Islamists, you know, are fighting this global jihad. It's not about a regionalized war anymore between the rebels and Bashar al-Assad. It's a global jihad phenomenon to remove the Bashar al-Assad regime, to unite the Muslim land together under a khilafah, under Amir al-Mu'mineen, who will establish and implement the Sharia. And what we can envisage, in fact, is that the next hurdle will be Israel. This is the next thing that will be removed from the face of the earth. And inshallah, the Sharia will spread right from Syria, inshallah, to the whole of the Middle East and the rest of the world.
Well, Randy Short, you just heard Ajam Chaudhary say this is going to be a global phenomenon now. Give us your reaction to his statements.
Well, he's clearly onto something. It is a global phenomenon. Where I take issue with him is this global phenomenon has been supported by the very states that prop up Israel. So I'm curious as to if they are successful in achieving their first end, how are they going to get to the second if, in fact, they are armed by the very forces that have empowered Israel with nuclear weapons and have backed them for over 60 years? It's not clear. So it seems as if, to me, you have people who have an end to achieve, but they're getting support from the very same people they're going to have to fight. So it's going to be a very interesting transition. How do they turn on the people that are arming and empowering them?
Well, Ajam Chaudhary, Randy Short has a point there. I mean, as an example, you mentioned Israel. We don't hear about the al-Nusra Front fighting Israel in the occupied territories, for example. But do you have an answer for Randy Short on what he said?
Yes, I mean, I think Randy is looking at it from a very superficial perspective. The foreign policy of a nation like America is established upon building interests and maintaining those interests. What they in fact find is that in the Middle East now, with the rise of the jihad and the people who are looking for pure Islam, their own interests, whether they be military or economic or strategic in the area, are being affected. So they are looking for any kind of saving face. They will quite happily support those people who are calling for democracy. Even though they may be fighting against Bashar al-Assad today, they would rather have, for example, some people who are moderate, maybe from the Free Syrian Army, than to have Jabhat al-Nusra in charge and have a Khilafah system which will affect the rest of their interests in the region. So I think for them, it's a case of a lesser of the two evils. They're not in favor of the jihad. They're not supporting Al-Qaeda or Jabhat al-Nusra. What they're trying to do is they're trying to avoid, in fact, people like Jabhat al-Nusra and the Mujahideen to get into power. So it's a case of, yes, we know that Bashar al-Assad is on the last limbs. You know, he's firing long-range missiles. They don't have troops on the ground anymore because they've lost the war. Damascus will fall, inshallah, in the next couple of days. After that, inshallah, you know, we will have the Sharia. They are looking for some kind of saving face in the region, and if it can be supporting some of the rebels who are talking about moderation, who are talking about democracy or freedom, who are willing to do their bidding, in fact, to fight maybe even against the Mujahideen in the future, then I think this is what the Americans are about. It's not about supporting the Mujahideen in any way, shape, or form.
I'm going to ask you to listen very closely, Ajam Chaudhary, to this viewer comment that has come on our Facebook page, which was pretty interesting and sheds a light on the events surrounding Al-Qaeda. We take a listen to that right now.
Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra, they are all proxy to American interests in the Middle East. As long as they're working towards American interest, and they are its allies, NATO has no clear contingency plans for Syria. Suicide bombings have remained a terror tactic to contend with, which is giving the Syrian government headaches. This is all part of the toppling mechanism, whichever way it comes. So branding al-Nusra a terrorist organization label is all but a false flag operation aiming to create a smokescreen towards Western double standards.
Simbo Electron made that statement. Randy Short, your reaction to that?
Well, I would agree with that comment. And further to respond to the gentleman in London, I'm far from superficial. The superficiality is to presuppose that somehow under the banner of Islam that everyone's going to come together. When we look at Libya, and for that matter, if we look at Saudi Arabia, where you have this pure Islam, you have conflict. When you put the guns and this divided opposition together, if you were to have a fall in a matter of days for the Assad regime, it's going to be a bloodbath. It wouldn't be anything that anyone would want. And so no one was talking about America's foreign interests. When I was speaking, I'm thinking about the people on the ground that live in Syria. It's very interesting that the perspective of the gentleman ignores the self-determination or human rights of the people within Syria. What about minorities? And what about the hatred against different groups like Christians and Shi? How are they going to be treated? And does this new Sharia pure Islam state that he proposes, is it going to be like Libya is now, or Afghanistan? And that's where they'll get enough help to destroy a state from the West, but not enough help to create even the pure Islamic state that they want. I'm far from superficial. I think that his ideology drives him to look at it in a very, very pristine way, that it will be achieved, but I'm not so certain, because they rarely happen that way.
Well, maybe
there's always fallout after a revolution or a change in power.
Well, maybe it's being achieved by force there. And Anjem Choudhary, I'm going to come to you at what even members from the SNC have said. They have said that they have lost support inside Syria. The reason was because, they were counting on their fighters to control, for example, towns. But they say that most of these fighters were liquidated by al-Qaeda-linked Nusra Front. So is the Nusra Front by force trying to dominate the SNC power and move itself and elevate itself into, to fight the Syrian president forces, and also then create this Islamic state by force?
Well, the people who have been coming back from Syria and who are taking the aid to those regions where you have the people who are refugees, they are coming back and saying, in fact, that the Mujahideen, and in particular Jabhat al-Nusra, are gaining a huge amount of support and love and allegiance from the ordinary people, because they see not only are they defending their own life and their wealth, but they are protecting them. They are providing education, they are providing welfare, they're providing, medicine. So these people, in fact, they have adopted the interests of the Syrian people as well as engaging in jihad. So on the one hand, I think that the analysis is incorrect. There are many groups and organizations now in Syria calling themselves in one form or another Jundush Sham, because this has been mentioned in the hadith, as you may know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the army will fight, and in fact they will fight the non-Muslims, and eventually they will establish the Sharia. On the other hand, I would say that he's pointing to regimes like Saudi Arabia or even Iran or even the regime of Karzai in Afghanistan is incorrect, because none of these regimes implement the Sharia. They are oppressing the people, they're implementing a dictatorship of a monarchy sort or a secular regime. The last time, in fact, that we had the Sharia was before the 3rd of March 1924, and that was
Iran's
the Khilafah system. So we're not talking about Libya or Tunisia, we're not talking about Mohamed Morsi in Egypt, we're talking about a different type of regime.
Okay, let's bring Randy Short. Randy Short, go ahead.
Well, he's acting as if the Shia don't have a right to practice Islam as they understand it, and to dismiss this is the high point of sectarian bigotry. Who runs Iran? Who is the leading power? And it's an Islamic republic. To deny that, is it because they're Shi? Is that the kind of change that they're going to come? So they're going to attack the Shi, and they're going to have Muslims fight each other? This plays right into the hands of the same people who are providing the humanitarian assistance to al-Nusra, the people that you're saying are helped. This is Western supply. These people don't have food and books. So this is coming from America, the same country that you said have a superficial policy. You're coming to them and from Britain and France to get humanitarian aid to make it seem as if the folks have a compassion for the folks, when in reality they can provide nothing right at this moment, and the infrastructure of the state and that society, in particular Syria, has been destroyed. So maybe the people want the food because you've destroyed their capacity to feed themselves and to educate themselves. I would take it too if I was in a refugee camp, but I would never forget who made me hungry, who destroyed my home, who ruined my society, and I'd be very suspicious of whether I'd want them to be a government over me.
Ajim Chilari, go ahead.
Let me be absolutely clear. As Muslims, we reject democracy, we reject secularism and freedom and human rights. We reject all of the things that you espouse as being the kind of ideals. And, you know,
you
it's an oxymoron to
rights,
say the Islamic Republic. There's nothing
you.
Called a republic in Islam. When we talk about the Sharia, we're talking about only the Sharia. We're talking about rejecting the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank. This is a reality that Randy and his own colleagues in the White House, you know, have yet to face. The last time they faced this power, as I said, was over 89 years ago.
I think they're living in the White House.
When the Sharia is established, this will be the beginning of the end of America.
Your colleagues get the assistance from the White House. As an African-American nationalist, my perspective isn't supported by this Anglo-American government. You're more likely to receive from the very same people you keep criticizing help than I will, because you're working for them, even though you don't want to acknowledge it.
The Americans are being kicked out of Iraq,
and you're hiding behind saying pure Islam, but who's funding you? Going all the way back to T.E. Lawrence supporting the rebellion against the Ottoman Empire.
It's the beginning of the end of the American hegemony over the Middle East.
That you've always been supported by England, Britain, France, or the United States. There's no separation from the powers that be in the West from your movement. It's you've always gotten that help, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's Libya.
I think you're living in a different world, a different history.
You can't
divide it. You may
want
to, but
you can't.
The biggest enemies to Islam and the Muslims. And it's their regimes, in fact, who are the agents.
I never said that they were not.
They're the ones who
armed Saddam
Hussein.
They're the ones who armed Gaddafi.
They're the ones who supported Bashar al-Assad.
So when the Muslims are rising,
this is against your own interests. That's why you're trying to get some peanuts by supporting some of the people to get some kind of democratic solution.
And we look nothing alike. But that shows your lack of understanding of the world and differences even within the United States. Speaking of superficial, you're a textbook case. You do not understand, and I'm not here to argue American foreign policy. As a human rights advocate and a peace advocate, I've been denouncing American foreign policy at every chance I could. I have a lot of respect for Islam, especially when it's peaceful
the difference,
and it
Randy,
follows
the difference,
Prophet
Randy, between
Muhammad, peace be upon
human
him,
rights
and
divine rights,
but not
is that you give a right
killing,
one day and you take it away the next day.
And the violation
in Islam,
of humanity,
the rights are not
this
taken away.
Sound like
under
the
human
Islam
rights,
that I was taught
under human
about
rights,
in school.
The Americans were implementing democracy and freedom with B-52 bombers in Afghanistan. Under human rights, you occupy and you support the land of Palestine, you see, with supporting
okay,
the Jews
let's
who are bulldozing
quick
down
time
houses.
Out here.
Under human
gentlemen,
rights,
I'm sorry.
You
know, you
care
about Palestine, quick time out.
Why don't
human
you
rights?
Do everything that you can
rights.
To help the Palestinians?
Right. Great question. But let's take a quick time out to listen into a viewer
rights,
comment.
But you know
I apologize,
what?
Gentlemen. Let's take a listen
human,
to this viewer comment so we can continue this. This is by Tony Segovia.
Al-Qaeda is the CIA. They kill mostly Muslim people. They just kill Westerners when Western governments need to scare their own people into submission to police state and genocidal austerity.
That's right.
Well, I need to get a reaction from you there, Ajim Chidari. I mean, you can't deny the fact that your group, I shouldn't say your group, I'm sorry, that the Al-Qaeda in Iraq has pretty much spread sectarianism both inside and outside Iraq, marginalizing the Shia population, and of course, Muslims are being killed. Isn't that the case? Your reaction to Al-Qaeda, CIA, to our viewer comment.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, when people fight, They kill each other. People don't make love in the battlefield. So the reality is that Tanzim al-Qaeda and the Mujahideen who are with them, they have been fighting a war against the regime in Iraq, Nur al-Maliki, and as well Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan. And of course, innocent people will be killed. But one of the things that we understand from the reality is that people like Blackwater and the CIA and even the ISI in Pakistan have been carrying out operations against innocent civilian populations and then trying to blame the Mujahideen. And let me tell you something. There is no sane person in the world who will believe that the Mujahideen, you know, and the people who support them from far afield as, you know, Somalia and Britain and France go all the way thousands of miles to kill innocent men, women and children. This doesn't happen. They are there to sacrifice their lives, to liberate the land, to liberate the people, to implement the Sharia. Only Randy, you know, in his cloud cuckoo land and the people who are make this analysis, they believe the Mujahideen are killing innocent people. This is not true. They are fighting their enemy. And if okay, that enemy is supported by
you threw a piece of Randy. You threw a piece of Randy Short. Randy Short, go ahead.
Why wouldn't people travel thousands of miles to kill and to hurt people?
Randy Short, go ahead.
He said earlier in the program that they didn't support human rights. So why not kill people wherever you could? Why not? How, if you don't respect
because
the
under
sanctity
the divine
of human
law,
life,
you
why
don't
not
kill innocent people?
People.
But
so,
who is
I mean,
innocent according to
that right
your
there.
Law
I
is different to who is innocent
that.
According to Islam.
That's exactly what's happening in Syria. That's exactly what people have done in Libya. That's the kind of anti-social, anti-human misrepresentation of Islam that some people
anti-human.
Are pushing. And
let me ask you something, Randy.
And
let me ask you something, Randy.
Islamophobia
human rights,
in the West,
under the human
where
rights
you
law,
yourself,
what is the right
your civil
of the
liberties
fetus,
at
the unborn
risk
child.
In Great Britain
let me ask you something.
Because of the behaviors
no
of people who
in
think
Islam,
like this
it has
in
the
other
right
places
of inheritance.
In the world.
It has the right not to be aborted. You are talking about caveman rights. Human rights are the rights in history. They belong in the garbage bin of history. The divine rights are far superior to your own rights.
In fact,
the rights of Allah and his
Rasul
are far superior to the laws you make up from your
rights of the murder of Libyans who happen to be black. That's what they've gotten.
Oh, really?
When
and
folks
under human
have taken
rights,
power
Nagasaki
talking about
and Hiroshima, was that done by the Americans?
Sharia,
or was that done by Al-Qaeda?
And it's been quite brutal and inhumane
under human
against
rights,
people.
What about the people in Guantanamo Bay? Where's the human rights of Sister Afia Siddiqui? Where's the human rights of Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman, the blind
I'm
sheikh in America? Where's your human
for people
rights?
In
you have no rights.
But
when you talk about
you
human rights,
so,
there are human wrongs.
Ideologically blind to the fact that you don't recognize that
I'm
there are
ideologically
people
superior
who are just
to you,
that live
Mr.
in
Randy.
Societies
you don't
that
have
are not
an ideology.
In your teeny,
you
tiny, sectarian
the American
concept
government
of the only
support,
way people can
whether
live.
Whether that be, you know, in
so, you know,
Iran or wherever,
I
in order to get
no
your
apologies.
Own superficial interests.
I'm against Guantanamo being in possession of the United States, whether you know that or not, and whether you try to out-talk or out-yell me, which you won't do, it's very clear that your order that you want to push to me seems no more humane than the Western people that you denounce, who my folks have been fighting for our freedom for 500 years. But obviously, you don't know anything about black folks except for when you're having them killed in Libya and in Mauritania. I mean, let's talk about the racism of this pure Sharia that your Salafis have been pushing. The murder of people because of the color of their skin, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that there is no black, there's no white, there's one. I mean, you guys practice sectarianism and racism, and you're calling that divine right? You must be crazy.
And we're going to end it on that. Thank you very much.
Don't,
human rights activist Randy Short from Washington,
and
from the Sharia Court of the UK, Anjem Chaudhary from London. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Tafoya and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.